holding the line
for the conservative movement.
This is Stacey on the Right on Sirius XM Patriot 125.
Welcome back. Thank you for being here tonight, for being a part of our SiriusXM Nation. We love you so much for being with us and for sticking with us. And we're hoping that you're going to put SiriusXM subscriptions in the cart for your family members and your friends, because that's one of the kindest gifts you can offer. So definitely consider that, SiriusXM.com. Welcoming in the show, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, retired spokesperson for the National Police Association. The website is nationalpolice.org. Sergeant Betsy, welcome.
Hey, Stacey. Great to be with you tonight. And I just renewed my SiriusXM for another year.
Oh, yesterday. Thank you. Did you hear that, everyone? She's with us. And, you know, that it does more than just, you know, obviously keep us hosts on the air. It also means that the quality entertainment that people have come to love and expect continues, and the news and information, which includes us getting to talk to you. So thank you for that. Sometimes it feels like, I know we're both so good natured, but we are here talking tonight about, among other things, this school shooting. The kids were in church en masse praying. They're literally in the pew. And then gunfire rings out. And I am blaming, in part, not in complete, but in part, the parents here. How did they not know that their kid had a weapon stockpile, an obsession with mass shooters? You know, I just, how did they not know?
Well, because they were obviously very involved in this kid's life, because when he was 17, they took him to court to let him change his identity from male to female, even though that doesn't change him into a girl. So these were not uninvolved parents. And he had I watched that whole 11-minute video. It's disgusting. But when you look at the weaponry and the ammunition and some of the other things that he had, he's got about somewhere between $8,000 and $11,000 worth of equipment there. This is not cheap stuff. And so where does a 20-year-old get those weapons? Where does he get the money for those weapons? And did you not know that your kid, and we don't know if he's 20, we don't know if he lived at home, but he had made some social media posts about not working. How'd you not know all of that was going on? And this was very similar to the Nashville Covenant School shooting, Audrey Hale, same thing. She had amassed all of these weapons and her manifesto, and she had crazy social media stuff. And, police actually searched her room.
Yeah.
Yeah, she lived at home. And when the police searched her room, they found all this crazy stuff. Where are the parents? If you've got an adult child that lives at home, which a lot of people do, and you know they've got mental health issues, which this young man did, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And, hopefully more will come out. I'm sure it will, but we'll see. We'll see if more comes out, Stacey, because in these types of situations, very often the politics of it, the media quits paying attention to it, except for some conservative media and talk radio. So who knows what we're going to find out in the days to come.
Well, my rant at the open of the show is for those shootings where the children, they're still in the house, right? If the person is an adult, but they're still living at home, or they are still largely under your direction, meaning you're funding them, right? Because, again, either the person knew some really great contacts in the black market who were willing to let guns go for cheap, or the parents helped fund some of this. So, everybody always goes so silent. And I mean, I guess I can't say I don't understand going silent after something like this happens. I mean, what are you going to do? Go out and say, we knew nothing, or we knew it, but we just didn't know what to do. There isn't a great response for the parents of the shooter right now. But for every parent out there, if your child is on the spectrum, if they're struggling with gender identity, then you have the potent mix right there on the spectrum in some way, some form of autism, plus being convinced incorrectly that they are in the wrong body, you don't lean into it and say, well, we're going to help you change your gender. Let's go ahead and get that official on your documentation, which means the person then expects their life to change and nothing changes. People don't suddenly start responding to your gender dysmorphia in a positive way because you have a driver's license that says your name is Robin instead of Robert. It just doesn't work that way.
No, and unfortunately, it's very obvious when you watch this video on, it's been taken off of YouTube, his final sort of manifesto video. But, you know, it's circulating widely on social media. When you watch this, this is clearly a young man who is spiraling, and I mean spiraling beyond belief. So unless he didn't live at home and his parents haven't seen him in quite some time, and he talks about his friends, too. He obviously has friends because he talked about them in his manifesto. He apologized to them. He apologized to his parents. You know, obviously someone saw something. Someone saw that he was absolutely in a downward spiral. And this is why we need to, this is why the National Police Association sued to get the Nashville Covenant School Shooters manifesto. We're still in court over that, Stacey, even though most of it's been released. Because we need to study this stuff and we need to understand this. This is not the first. And again, I'm not going to bash on trans people, but we do have to understand and admit that if you are a young person, especially, and you are one sex, in this case, a man, a boy who believed he was a girl, that is that was until very recently a mental illness in the textbooks. And now what we do is we affirm it and we tell them that they are victims and we celebrate them. And in the state of Minnesota, this has been widely celebrated, the whole trans community. And of course, Mayor Jacob Frey today, famously known for sobbing at the golden casket of George Floyd 5 years ago, gave us all a stern talking to today, reminding us that we are not to judge the trans community or in any way attack them over this shooting. Now, when it's Stacey, if this had been a white male with a red MAGA hat on who was a registered Republican and voted for Trump, right now everyone else in the media would be talking about how MAGA people are
a danger
to society. We are an existential threat, all those things. And we will be talking in broad terms, but Jacob Frey scolded everyone today to remind us that this has nothing to do with being a transgender and that we probably shouldn't even be talking about it. And that's where my rant has been all day. We have got to, these people should not be abused and they should not be taunted, transgender people, especially kids. But we have got to get a handle on this. And there is so much more. This hatred of Christians that this young man manifested, you know, I'm old enough to remember just a couple of short years ago, people like you and I were called Christian nationals because we loved our country and we loved our God, and Jesus is our Savior. So we're dangerous Christian nationals. Catholic school parents were being followed by the FBI under the Biden administration. So things have turned, but there's still so much hatred, and it was manifested by this young man, and two little babies are dead because of it.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out at what point are we gonna like take a second, you know, and point out that if you tell Americans, a presidential administration tells Americans that these kinds of parents are actually terrorists, right? Parents who show up to school board meetings, many of whom are Christian, but not all of them. Not every parent who showed up to a school board meeting angry about all of this nonsense was a Christian. But the the media narrative that was painted surrounding that was that, you know, there's something wrong with these people. They're evil. They're inherently against what we're for, which is affirming and being kind. And, you know, the Democrats will, they'll bag up dog poop and this is a, we need to affirm this. And then everybody in their party will go, we affirm what's in that bag. It stinks. We affirm it. You cannot affirm what's in that bag. This is what we have them doing constantly in our culture, getting us to affirm things that don't make sense. And I'm not for hurting anyone who is suffering from anything. Honestly, if you're suffering from some kind of illness, mental illness, or, you know, as they've taken it out of the DSM, it doesn't mean it's not still mental illness. That's the other part. We have let them tell us how things work. They have a book called the DSM. If something's in the DSM and listed as a mental illness, then it is. But if we take it out of the DSM, then it isn't anymore. No, it's just that you no longer will put the word in the DSM, but it's still a mental illness. That's the way we have to start dealing with this. We have to go back to basics. Being transgender is a mental illness. It doesn't matter where you write it down. It is a mental illness, because otherwise, why are they going around killing people? Why do they think they're in the wrong body? Why do they need special policy? What is all of this that we're doing if it's not trying to accommodate what is a mental illness? If there was nothing wrong, we wouldn't be discussing it. And he wouldn't have shot up the school today.
Well, and absolutely. And this is a topic that is really separating. It's splitting the gay community. Here where I live, we have a very active chapter of Gays Against Groomers. These are people who talk about being lesbian or gay. You know, that's kind of it. They don't buy into the plus AI, all this stuff. And they talk about leaving kids out of this, leaving children alone. Now, again, this young man was 20 years old, but obviously he was a minor when his parents decided to give in to his whim instead of getting him appropriate counseling and letting him change his legal identity from male to female. And, you know, so we have to look at that. We also have to look at just the logic of what happened today, in that this happened in the city of Minneapolis in one of the most dangerous 24 hours in the city of Minneapolis in many years, I was told by my sources there. You know, they had four significant shootings in 24 hours, including another mass shooting at a Catholic high school. That shooter is on the lam, and I believe that's going to turn out to be some kind of a gang shooting. But this is a police department that is more than 40% down in its staffing still. So, you know, undoubtedly.
Sounds like they need the National Guard.
Who was politically.
I mean,
right?
It sounds like they need a recruitment drive and the National Guard. National Guard comes in to supplement, because,
no,
you know,
yeah,
what we saw in D.C. when the National Guard came in is it freed up the police to go arrest some. First, it was 400. Then I believe the number rose to 600 and some odd people. And now crime has dropped like by double digits. It's down. I think carjackings are down 900%. I didn't even know they could be over 100%. 900% increase in carjackings has been erased by arresting 600 and some odd people. So in Minneapolis, they could have a similar result, right?
Truly, and this would be the time to bring in the National Guard, along with additional federal resources who are already there. You know, every big city, y'all got federal cops, and a lot of people in the rural areas too. Whether you know it or not, you've got federal police officers in your midst, and they do work with, you know, your local law enforcement. But right now, how healing would it be for Tim Walz to call Donald Trump and say, Mr. President, let's work together on the safety of Minneapolis, and I, the governor, declare an emergency because the Minneapolis Police Department is 40% down. Our Sheriff's Department and St. Paul PD, our Twin City, they're also short-staffed. People are frightened because of what has happened in the last 24 hours, including this horrific school shooting. Let's work together. Instead, their attorney general just last week, Keith Ellison, was bragging about suing the Trump administration for gender affirming care in Minnesota, and both Jacob Frey and Tim Walz just told us a few days ago how safe the city of Minneapolis is. And let's not forget, again, Jacob Frey, his first statement today, the mayor of Minneapolis, basically made fun of praying people. And he said, stop talking about thoughts and prayers. These children were literally praying when they got shot. Can you imagine Jacob Frey or any politician making a similar statement about little Muslim children if they were attending prayers? Because, you know, we have the call to prayer in Minneapolis, by the way. That is celebrated. But Christian prayers, again, were he was taunting people about prayers. And there have been so many like-minded people, who are like-minded like Jacob Frey, who were taunting Christians and saying, your prayers don't work, thoughts and prayers aren't it. And so I'm quite disgusted by that as well. And if these little kids, I hope they were praying when they were shot. And I'm glad that these kids are Christians and they know Jesus. And so their parents can be comforted in that. But for a mayor to come out and literally taunt people for their religion, but it's okay because you can taunt Christians. Just don't taunt Muslims.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you and I both know what that's about. That's the voice of the enemy speaking out. It's an attempt to silence Christians. It's an attempt to inject guilt. It's the voice of the accuser. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of the enemy you will not hear. So we will not listen to the voice of the accuser. The accuser of the brethren comes to lie, kill, steal, and destroy, and to accuse, so that people will doubt their faith, so that they won't pray, so that they won't trust that even in this very, very difficult moment for those parents, those of us who are Christians understand that any child sacrificed and martyred for their faith is instantly on the other side of this realm in the arms of Jesus Christ in heaven, walking on the clear streets of jewels and glass. It's liquid gold. They're literally in heaven with the angels praising God. They don't know sorrow. They don't know pain anymore. Their parents are living on without them. And those are the people we have to pray for. And, you know, as much as my physical flesh hates to say it, I know in my heart, in my soul, that we have to pray for this man and Jen Psaki. Apparently Jen Psaki was taunting Christians as well. We have to pray for these people who are openly mocking Jesus Christ, because they have to come to know him before they meet their eternal destiny, which is literally pain and suffering for all eternity. Unbelievable sickness. The way hell is described, it's even though we don't like Jen Psaki's politics or this Frey guy, we have to understand that they're doomed to hell without knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they are literally speaking out of their eternal reward. That's where this evil discussion comes from. So, you know, Lord willing, they will be able to repent for this and come to know the Lord as their Savior. But for those who are trying to understand and reckon with this, the free will that we have as human beings means that sometimes human beings are going to make the wrong decisions and they're going to take the lives of other people or rape them or kill them or murder them or something like that. That's not God's fault. He gives us free will, and then it is ours to do with what we can. But it is the elected officials like Frayer who have taken on a duty, or Frey or whatever his name is, to restrain evil and promote the good. So some of the blame for this activity falls at his feet. He promotes the agenda that brought this student to a place, this man, to a place where he thought he was, you know, okay to be a woman, going to change his certificate and live as a woman. That happened in part because of the policy supported by that mayor. So he's partially to blame here. He enabled this.
And we're talking now all afternoon and evening. The left has been talking about guns. We got to get rid of the guns, gun control. You know, Gavin Newsom put out that this is inexplicably the fault of the GOP. Somehow it's the fault of Republicans. And it's, I think people are weary of that. It makes no sense. And, you know, Minnesota has been on kind of a tear lately to enact some additional laws when it comes to gun control. You know, they have red flag laws. They have things like that. And while we're talking about a school here, this was a private school, so they didn't necessarily have access to an actual school resource officer. But less than a year ago, Minnesota had to change their laws to allow school resource officers, police officers, back into their schools because they literally made it illegal for cops to be in some schools after the death of George Floyd. So lots of legislation back and forth. But again, we're talking about gun control. And right now, tomorrow, even if the legislature in Minnesota manages to pass a total ban on all firearms in the state, you know, how long would it take to sign that law into place? Who are you going to have to enforce it? What are you going to do? Call the National Guard in? You know, this talk, it's talk. You know, we must do something. They never do anything. Nationally, the Democrats were in total control for 2 years. They never changed a single gun law. And but we're going to talk about it and blame Republicans. And we especially have got to push aside this concern about mental illness and these mass shooters, because we certainly can't be talking about that. They don't want us to talk about that.
Well, and I can tell you, Democrats are masterful at choosing something that they know will be very incendiary and lobbing a bomb at that, right? Jen Psaki, former press secretary, this mayor, all of these other people who are Democrats lobbing their attacks at prayer because they know attacking guns by themselves won't be enough. So they get us to argue with them about whether or not prayer is enough. And then we don't have to discuss their role in promoting gender affirming care that enabled this killer to roam free. So, I mean, we have to understand narratives need to be built. They need to try to separate themselves from the source, right? The actual driver here, which is gender affirming care, changing driver's licenses and birth certificates instead of getting kids into counseling. You know, allowing them to continue to just roam around and be free, as opposed to just, you know, saying to yourself, you know, our son is now 20 years old and we're supporting him and we're doing all these different things, but he's still sick. There's still something going on. Instead of ignoring it, well, he's a grown up now. You know, they push the person out into the world and let the rest of us deal with him. And now you've got dead children. That's what's going on here. Democrats don't want this at their doorstep. They don't want it laid at their feet, but that's where it is. It's at the feet of people who have enabled this, Jen Psaki being one of them. Otherwise, why would she need to make such a broad comment about, you know, prayer isn't enough? Maybe not for her, since I don't know who she's praying to.
Or if she's praying at all, you know, that's the thing. You know, there's about 400 plus million guns in this country. We're not going to get rid of them. So we've got to understand why these shootings happen. And we also have to, and you and I talk about this all the time, we've got to prevent them. This was a private school, a small Catholic school. I don't know what their security plan was. I don't know if they had any security. I haven't seen any aspect of that in the media yet. But everybody in the country now with kids and grandkids, school is just starting, depending on where you live. It's either been in session for a couple of weeks, it's just starting this week, or it starts right after Labor Day. Know what the security plan is at your kids' school. If your kids are going to a private school and you're paying private tuition, you need to make sure that you are communicating and offering to and getting other parents together and saying, let's throw another $20 or $50 or $100 a month and pay for armed security, or let's volunteer, let's gather instead of just having a PTA fundraiser to get new uniforms for the football team, let's do some volunteering and fundraising for armed security, whether it's paid or it's a volunteer with, you know, people who are retired cops or off-duty cops, retired military, things like that, people with skills. We have got to harden the target. It appears that this target, this Catholic school with, you know, in a sanctuary filled with children, parents, and elderly people from the neighborhood, we got to take better care of them. We've got to protect them better. It's going to be up to us.
I mean, and so this is a conversation we've had a few times over the years that we've talked to each other, hardening locations. And it is up to parents. If there's anyone listening saying, well, actually, I think it's actually up to the school, like that's the school's job. Yeah, but if the school isn't doing it and you're paying for your kid to go there, that's the case if your kid is in public school or private, you're paying for your kid to go there, then like Sergeant Betsy said, you'd be amazed at how cheaply a retired or a veteran, someone who's a military veteran, you might be able to get them to do a few mornings a week just as a volunteer, not even paid, until you can raise the money to bring on a full-time person. And then that one full-time person, you would need another person, because what about that person going on vacation if they're sick, etc.? And before you know it, you've got a security team. And then the hardening of the building can come at the advice of that person, or you can call in a consultant. And if you're thinking, well, gosh, we have to raise money for that. Well, yeah, you might just have to raise money for it. But if you get enough
parents, and we raise money for everything else.
I mean, don't we? We're selling chocolate. I remember that it was the gift wrapping sales. And then it was some other things. And at one point I just said, I'll just donate. And one of the moms was like, we need to get the kids into selling. And I was like, I don't. None of my children are going to be in sales because their parents aren't in sales. We're not in sales. So I'm just going to donate. And she's like, well, but we just, I said, I'm going to stroke out a check for $200 because I'm not selling this wrapping paper to my neighbors. I'm just not doing it. I don't have time to go knock and ask them to buy this wrapping paper. And she kind of looked at me and I said, it's okay. A bunch of us have already said we're donating. You're probably going to make more money off of us donating than us selling this stupid paper, because nobody wants wrapping paper from this place. So, you know, Sergeant Betsy, this is the advice that they need to go out on. We're up against the break here. And that is to make sure your kid's school is hardened. And don't be lulled into a sense of complacency by the fact that you're in Minneapolis or some blue place or some red place or some politically agnostic place. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, such a pleasure to hear your voice. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Stacey. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. We'll talk soon.